Hello and welcome to yet another episode of the Yellow and Blues podcast. I'm Shrini and I'm joined by my co-host Venkat. Hello Venkat, how are you?
I'm doing very well, thanks Shrini.
So yet another series for India is starting tomorrow, the T20I series against Australia and then followed up by South Africa. There's a bit of cricket happening, not much for the men's side, but elsewhere, quite a bit of cricket happening worldwide, and the India women playing here in England. So we'll have a look at all of those things. Let's probably start, you know, as usual, we start with the kind of the news section to see what else is happening in the world of cricket, and in general, sort of also probably Indian cricket before we move into this series specifically. I think the first thing, I mean, I said everybody is preparing for the T20 World Cup. Pakistan are welcoming England after 17 years. So that's an interesting series starting tomorrow. South Africa are doing an IPL style
auction right now. I also noted that everybody is really proactive in protecting their players. I think at the drop of hat, everybody is being rested even in the preparation series. So yeah.
So I guess when we talk about the India-Australia series, as we preview that, we'll have a look at the Australian team as well, to see like, you know, who's playing and who's not. You're right, you know, I just mentioned the Pakistan-England series tomorrow. Apparently, Jos Buttler, I don't know if he's been injured or he's rested, you know, he's new captain in sort of looking ahead for the World Cup. Moeen Ali is leading it in Pakistan. You're right, you know, everybody seems to be protecting players to be ready for the World Cup next month. Other news, I guess, happening, it says like there's a new crop of players coming for the India test, you know, the India, I don't know whether, you know, we should just cover this off in the news or probably have a bit more in-depth look into the India versus New Zealand series, although a couple of games are unofficial test series,
yeah,
so to speak, that ended in a draw. You know, but maybe we will just have an in-depth look. And one other news item is a new rule that the ICC, not the ICC, the BCCI.
BCCI, yeah, they are planning to introduce the impact of.
Yeah, what did you make of that? You know, I mean, they're obviously going to trial it in Syed Mushtaq Ali, and if all being well, then probably for the 2023 IPL season.
Yeah, I think, if we kickstart our discussion with that, I think it's an interesting rule. It just, I don't know what to make out of it and how teams will use it. It's no, in cricket, we don't have that, unless it's a really village cricket that we play, where you turn up with an extra member in the team and the opposition agrees to let them play. You don't see that, and I don't think. I think that the closest you have is probably a concussion sub, but that the conditions and the reasons are different. We can't draw parallels to both. But the advantage, I think, the captain would have is to have an additional batter or a bowler. As the game evolves, to be able to make that decision would be immensely helpful. Sometimes, because at the toss, most captains call based on how the wicket is going to play, and they don't have a recourse if the wicket doesn't play to their expectation or if a player fails or whatever that is. I think mostly this will neutralize some of the toss-related advantages that either team would have is my view.
I agree. I mean, if you remember, like a few years ago now, you know, they had this concept of a super sub in ODIs, whereby you had like, you know, a 12th player actually named and you had the option to use them or not. And I think most teams tried to get in an all rounder essentially as the super sub. So that depending on, you know, whether they need an extra bowler or the batsman, they could do it. In a sense, clearly this is following on from the X factor that the BBL have got in. We kind of almost trialing something similar, the impact. Unlike, I think, the Super Sub, where, you know, it was just the 12th player that was named. This, where I find this interesting is, like, you know, that there are actually four substitutes named along with 11. So you've got a playing 11, and then there is a four substitutes named, and you get to choose, you know, one of the substitutes. And where I think with the Super Sub, they could do, I'm trying to look at this from memory. I'm not gone back and actually read the rules. It's been a while, but I think it was a case of they could do who were they replacing. They couldn't, like, so if that person had batted, they couldn't bat again. They could just bowl. Whereas this one, the slightly tweaking, like, you know, you could actually have, when a team is batting first and realizing that they haven't got the score and they can bring in their impact sub, and that sub can also bat as long as only 11 players bat. So I was trying to think, you know, once I read the rule, I was trying to think of, like, you know, examples where, I mean, the simplistic one I could think of, like, maybe in MI, for example, if you do use them. You've got, like, Tim Davids or Donald Brevis, who are, like, you know, so Deval, those guys, they could bat. And they, you know, so you could top load with good batting, depending on if you win the toss, and then put in Jasprit Bumrah, for example, if you're bowling. So I'm absolutely right. I think it would definitely negate the toss advantage. I was trying to extrapolate this to, like, you know, sort of in the international T20, if this rule came in, trying to think of in India, could you have in a game where you had both Rishabh Pant and Dinesh Karthik, for example, batting, but then one of them then drops out and, you know, you replace him with a super sub bowler.
I think that's a good point. I mean, people would have, I mean, it's going to be, but one of the things that I noticed, finer points, is, you know, it will be also, if implemented in IPL, this would be a way around playing only four foreign players, I suppose. I don't know how the real...
I think that's something that they will probably, you know, would it mean, like, you know, if you're replacing a fourth foreign player, so you can't have actually five foreign players.
Indian player with a foreign player.
Foreign player, yeah. So that would be an interesting thing, or, you know, would they think about that and sort of say, well, you still only can have four foreign actual players playing in the game. You know, so you're doing a like for like. Those are the additional caveats that probably will need to be added in. Again, to me, it feels like, you know, sort of, why fix something that's not broken? I mean, for years, you know, it's not like the football model. You know, football, for example, has had that always, like, you know, where there were three additional substitutes. You know, you could replace one with another. But that's slightly different than cricket, is because there are not specific disciplines, like, you know, your batting and bowling, etc. You wouldn't, like, you know, in football, replay, take away a goalkeeper and replace, substitute him with an outfield player and not have a goalkeeper, sort of thing.
No, but the fact, advantage or disadvantages, I mean, if a player is I think this has evolved out of one, the viewership and the changing needs, I think, of the modern game. There is so much of games going on. There's so much load on players. I think this will help them get into the game, but also, you know, kind of look at fitness concerns, especially playing in hot weather and stuff like that. They can have people coming and going. And I think it's fair, in my view. It makes it interesting for tactical reasons. And the fact that it negates the effect of toss is also a big advantage of this kind of rule. I don't think it will extend to test or anything like that. So, you know, we can forget it. It's going to be only for T20s to start with.
Yeah. Because if it does get extended onwards, you know, into, like, test matches, that will you will tend to see, like, you know, suddenly there is a sub being in, brought in for the fourth innings in India, for example, with the fourth spinner coming in, completely, like, you know, changing the game. And especially with the fact that there is no limit in terms of the number of overs you can bowl and stuff. Yeah, I think you're right, you know. This would probably be intuitive. Although I suppose I, going back to like the super sub I was talking about, I would probably be like, you know, interested in this being trialed out more in ODI format rather than the T20. I just think there is the T20 format at the minute is quite good. You know, it is already fast moving. There is probably no need to like make these kind of changes. Maybe the ODI is the bit where it's kind of gone stale. You know, there is some kind of refreshing things. You know, you could refresh a little bit and stuff like that.
I was thinking the other day if they should have ODIs as two kind of a day test match with T20s. Like how you play each innings, you score, and then these guys score on the lead, and then that becomes a
Yeah,
winner
I know
season.
what you mean. I think there was some time ago, I think, isn't it, Tendulkar suggested that, like, you know, playing it as 225 over slots. So, you know, bat first and then a second innings, the opposition bats. That is one, you know, makes, and especially the fact, you know, if you can actually use a new ball for every 25 overs. I know it kind of goes away from the reversing, but rather than using like two new balls from two ends, you do something similar like that. And potentially, if there is dew and things like those, you know, that the second two innings. Do you remember, like, you know, we at the club level, we recently played a game. I think it was a 2 day game where the team that has got the lead batted the following day so that the other team has the opportunity to chase, isn't it? Something like
Yeah,
that.
that's
So
right. That's right. Basically, yeah.
you would
I
have,
think
like, you know, 225 over innings, and then at the end of it, the team whichever has kind of got the lead then bats again, and so the following team has the opportunity to chase.
Yeah, exactly. I think that is that you are right. The other thing that could come through is 40 overs reducing ODIs as 40 overs. I mean, I know we moved on from the subs to potential changes for ODIs. But I think that there needs to be some reinvigoration of format. I think at the moment we are kind of looking at, I mean, that was we are looking at the inevitable sidelining of ODI as a format, as much as that's still one of my favorite formats because it gives teams to recover and build up an innings and still see some exciting hitting, all in the span of a day. It's unlike because the number of T20s that are being played, unless they make some changes, which I think will evolve from T20 into ODI. You're right. Bottom line, I agree with your viewpoint. If at all you're tweaking or doing some changes, make it on ODIs rather than piling it up all on T20s and
Yeah, I think the one definite rule change that which is already in place in the in international, and I would definitely make it for the IPL exercise, that time limit kind of thing. If you don't bowl your overs by a certain cut-off time, you know, you start to lose the fielders, one fielder from the edge. For how many overs you've got the T20. That's an absolute, you know, forget all this nonsense about finding the players, finding the captain, etc. You literally, like, you know, reduce the number of players you can have outside and put them into the circle. Straight away, the punishment is there. You know, it gives an impetus for the captain and the bowling team to bowl faster.
I think they should keep taking away fielders because
Yeah.
I think now they are bringing it into the circle, right?
Yeah.
That still can work advantages to the fielder because it's a forced change, and then a batsman will change their game according. Say if somebody is primarily a single player, he is more restricted, he or she, rather than kind of trying to go I mean, there are. I don't think it still hurts as much as taking out that fielder out of the game.
Yeah, that might be another way. Like you almost say, well, you've got to lose one player for those remaining one or two overs. So you actually play only with 10. Makes it harder, and that, I mean, for sure, like it would have a massive impact on the speed of the IPL games. Games will definitely get quicker. They'll bowl faster, etc.
I think
So.
the other thing is limiting celebrations. I think everybody running up from all corners of the ground. I think even at club level, we follow that rule. We want to, kind of finish it before the rain arrives or
So,
whatever.
although a club level will probably be like, some players are just lazy enough to like not having to go all the
Yeah, that's right.
way. But yeah, no, that's definitely so. And that's good. So yeah, again, kind of like that. Talking about ODIs, it's a nice way to segue into the England versus India women's ODI yesterday. I know you watched the game yesterday.
Yeah, I
India
did.
have gone one up. There's a couple more ODIs left.
I mean, I have to say the gulf in talent between Smriti Mandhana and the rest of the crop in terms of the gameplay, it's almost like, like a pro turns up into a club level game. Seriously, I'm not even exaggerating. Some of the shots, she's playing in a different game altogether in terms of her timing, and I think it is to do with form. And Virat Kohli was there like that at some point in time, like everybody was playing on a different field, and this guy is floating. And Smriti Mandhana yesterday kind of reminded that phase. Tendulkar had that kind of phase where, yeah, he would go do back foot punch and exactly the same. I mean, Smriti Mandhana was really good yesterday.
I mean, yeah, it's the left hand is, as
Elegant.
irresponsible. Yeah, the elegance from a left hand, I know whether it's men's or women's, that is the way she bats. It's unfortunate that she missed out on an opportunity to score 100 against England. She's not got one in the ODIs, and this would have been a 600. Even I mean the bowling as well. Like if you look at yesterday's game. They had them like what 128 for six, and then the last wicket, one ended up scoring about 100 odd runs, so they finished with 227 for seven. So that reminds me of what used to be the problem with the Indian bowling years ago, where we would struggle to get the tail out. So we yesterday you showed, and again sort of the next couple of games, the game at Lord's, we touched about this a couple of weeks ago. It's going to be Julan Goswami's
Lamin.
last game. So, well, anyway, the point I was making about was so we did manage to get them down to sort of 94 for 5 and 128 for 6, but then ended up letting them get to 227.
It's the impact. I mean, I think the team needs to learn to close. I think to do, I mean, from my point of view, it is also to do with the captain, in terms of being, sending out a message to the team saying, yep, let's close this game out, because once in a while you have the tailback. Right, you once in a while you have, but I've seen this with Indian women bowling, is that they're not able to close their things out, close their, game out. And I think yesterday was a classic example. I felt that.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at the bowling figures, if you looked at it, Julan Goswami, that wealth of experience bowling 10 overs for 20, and Meghna Singh, not having got the enough experience, bowling 8 overs for 42, you can see how it is different, how it's going to be, partially it's going to be also difficult. Meghna Singh, yes, is a good ready-made replacement for Julan Goswami, but it's also going to be this. Even though when Mithali Raj retired, and we lost like a huge chunk of experience, I think the fact that people like Smriti Mandhana and Harmanpreet, etc., they had been playing with her for a while. And so therefore, like, you know, from a batting perspective, I don't think Indian women have seen, like, you know, Mithali Raj sort of dropping out or retiring, like, as a big loss. Don't get me wrong, like, you know, Mithali Raj sort of, I'm not saying, like, you know, they are not huge shoes to fill in, but the fact is, like, you know, the batting side depth, you know, with at least with these two guys, Smriti Mandana and Harmanpreet, they've kind of being able to cover off that, whereas I don't think with the bowling experience, in the pace bowling especially, like, you know, so the spin bowling, obviously, like, you know, all of, you've got quite a few, again, it kind of reminds you back, going back early Indian teams of, like, you know, when Sunil Gavaskar and co were playing, where Sunil Gavaskar used to actually open the bowling and then you went into, like, you know, your spin quartet sort of thing. So,
I don't know if it's to do with fitness issue or ability. I do see, you know, a couple of pace bowlers. I saw one in the T20 who could potentially take up. You're right. We don't have a pace bowling pipeline. Like for example, in the Indian men's team in the early 90s, we had spinners. Kumble was one of the pace bowlers. He could bowl much quicker than some of the pace bowlers we had. I hope that's not the case with the women's team. We do need pace and swing. All the other teams, England, especially New Zealand, Australia, have a really good pace attack. And you do need that variety, especially for the top.
Yeah, I think it will take time, you know, sort of for India to, like, get that new pace bowlers and those kind of thing. I mean, Renuka Singh, Renuka Singh, and then probably, like, you know, sort of Meghna Singh is another one. They are probably the next crop, if you like, in terms of bowlers. But yeah, trying to replace that level of experience is going to be difficult.
He chose to retire a player last game in Lords as well. I think it must be it must be special.
I'm sure it'll definitely be, like, you know, special in terms of retiring for her. But yeah, fingers crossed, like, no, Indian women find more pace bowlers.
Yeah.
Because especially when they have to play abroad, that's exactly where it's probably makes a huge difference. And I think compared to the Indian men's, with the start of the women's IPL next year, hopefully there'll be more players from the domestic. You know,
I mean, Indian, yeah, exactly. The domestic demand for pace bowling, or at least, you know, you surface the talent. I see what you're saying, but unless the captain and coach are, and Ramesh Pawar, isn't he the coach for, and he himself is a spinner, I think, don't get me wrong, Ravi Shastri was his coach when India got that pace bowling. You know, four pace bowlers, five pace bowlers. They were spoiled for choice. That led to us winning the test series in England, or Australia for that matter even. So I think if you really look at it, I think if you, Ramesh Pawar and the women's team captain, Harmanpreet Kaur, decides to say, okay, I mean, I'm going to put my foot down and have pace bowling in women's team, I think then it becomes a viable proposition. I think until that, there needs to be somebody driving that change. I hope.
Indian women's cricket, I don't think, has kind of reached that tipping point where they're starting to look at, like, you know, it's only now. To me, as I said, like, you know, we've mentioned this before, the women's IPL will be a catalyst for change in Indian women's cricket, and it will fast track a number of people moving to the, especially given the fact, like, you know, the women's schedule. You know, FTP came out and India barely play 3-4 tests, maybe, I think, in the next 2 or 3 years. They're
Yeah.
predominantly playing, you know, white ball cricket. And so, which means the IPL, women's IPL, will definitely
Yeah.
give them the exposure, especially bowling into T20. And that's where, if a lot of women's cricket is going to be played internationally and for India, so it will definitely be a catalyst for them to progress. So that'll be interesting, you know, the next two ODIs. I'm not sure what fixtures, you know, India have actually got after this, from a woman's perspective.
I remember seeing that their season kind of is drawing to a close, but I could be wrong because I followed them. I was looking at their tours program.
I don't think India women have got anything now up until sort of early in the new year in 2022. This is probably the last.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I remember seeing. I mean, the last game they play is on 24th September. Right?
Yeah, it's at Lord's, and then afterwards.
And then that's pretty much it.
So
yeah,
and that's part of the problem, you know. Hopefully the BCCI is able to find sort of, you know, more series, you know, during the winter as well for India to like travel. I mean, obviously some of the women will go to play the WBBL,
the BBL tournaments
and things like those, and hopefully the WBBL will follow up with the women's IPL, and then the season will start for them. But yeah, let's keep an eye out on the next 2 days. India obviously lost the T20 series here in England, you know, 2-1. And that, interestingly, all 4 games that they have played, like, you know, the team that has chased has won. So it'd be interesting to see the next 2 teams, you know, what happens around that in terms of the chase and the win.
Yeah.
So that's there. Anyway, so yeah, kind of moving on from that one. Let's look at the India Australia series starting tomorrow. So it's a 3-match series, then it'll be followed by the India South Africa after that one. But again, these 6 games, India have got to nail down their team. I mean, that's something we will look at after this one, you know, because the squad's been announced for the World Cup as well.
Sorry to interrupt.
So I was just going to say, maybe it'd be a good idea for us to, like, you know, sort of compare and look at the squad, you know, the Indian squad versus the squad that's playing in against Australia.
Let's see the India tour of Australia squads, right? And compare it with who is going to play in the World Cup squad, right? I think there is not much of a difference, obviously.
So, for example, Ashdeep Singh has been announced for the squad that's going to the World Cup, but he's obviously not playing in this Australian series.
Yeah. I think there are a couple of reasons. They don't want everybody to be getting used to him. I mean, that is one aspect, or I don't know if it has to do with, you know,
I think, in fact, like, you know, it's actually the like-for-like squad. The Mohammad Shami was the only player that kind of was swapped for Ashdeep Singh, and Mohammad Shami now has been withdrawn with COVID, I think. Umesh Yadav is replacing, but I don't know whether Ashdeep has been rested for this series and may play in the South Africa series. But so India, so it is a like-for-like squad. That's going
like for like squad, yes, of course. You know, I couldn't help seeing that. You know, Umesh Yadav, do you think any chance of him?
No, I don't think so. I think Ashdeep Singh will be the one that will go and stuff. I don't think that he will be best. Ravi Ashwin, that was the only thing, you know, in the squad, you know, I mean. His numbers are good and all of those things. Yes, he's made it. But would I have gone with Deepak Chahar over Ravi Ashwin? Possibly that was the only change I think I would have made. But I suppose the downside is the fact that Deepak Chahar hasn't really had, other than that three games he played in Zimbabwe, he's not really had a lot of cricket under his belt.
Where exactly I would have issue with a player like Ravi Ashwin, of course, he's one of the greatest off spinners. And his ability to power hit over somebody like, let's say, Akshar Patel, and the fielding as well. I think he's a big liability in the field, not the most agile or most quick in terms of, of course, everybody is going to miss Jadeja. That goes without saying. If Jadeja was there, I think probably Ashwin was going to be a
I think Akshar Patel would have missed out if Jadeja was there. Like, that would have been a like for like.
But even then, because Akshar Patel's hitting ability versus how you rate Ashwin's hitting ability, I think Akshar Patel slightly has the edge and probably slightly only a tad better fielder. I think when you got to go at a T20 game, you're looking at somebody who's very quick across the turf and can field well. I don't get that vibe. Remember, it is not to do with anything to do with data.
Yeah.
I don't get that.
So, I mean, I was just looking at it, so the game, let's pick tomorrow's game, top my 11, for example, would be Rohit Sharma and KL Rahul, 1 and 2, followed by Virat Kohli.
Needs to get as many games as possible.
He needs
to look at his strike rate, there's a lot of pressure. And Rohit Sharma already announced that, Virat Kohli is going to be the third opener. So I think there is definitely pressure on Rahul to kick on.
Yeah, so you've got Rohit Sharma, KL Rahul, 1 and 2, Virat Kohli obviously at 3, Surya Kumar Yadav coming in at 4.
Then becomes interesting. Pandya or Pant?
Dinesh Karthik.
I think Dinesh Karthik would get the rope. In terms of because what Rishabh Pant brings is the left-hand right-hand combination, right? He's the only left-hander, and if you want to throw some opposition bowling off peg, you're going to obviously send Rishabh Pant. Would we play Rishabh Pant, Pandya and Karthik? There's no way to do that. So
the interesting one again there is Deepak Hooda was another one for me in the we mentioned this, talked about this.
Yeah.
In the Asia Cup, he didn't bowl at all. India went those two games, the game against Pakistan and Sri Lanka, literally with just five bowlers bowling. I'm not sure why Deepak Hooda didn't get used. That would have been my sixth bowler if especially if Deepak Hooda was playing. So he would be the one. So anyway, let's go back to so what would you say? Rohit Sharma, KL Rahul, Kohli, Surya Kumar Yadav, your
that's
4, Hardik Pandya is 5.
Hardik Pandya, 5.
Come back from the bowling, so Bhuvneshwar Kumar and Jasprit Bumrah, 6 and 7, for example.
Patel.
No, probably Chahal and Ashdeep Singh, depends on the pitch.
But he's not there in the squad.
Not for tomorrow, but for the T20, I suppose. Yeah, tomorrow you would probably go with Harshal Patel.
Yeah.
Well, again, this is where it comes down to what's the pitch going to be like? The good thing, you're playing at Mohali, so hopefully, it not be a spin. You'll have a bit of pace. The three games at Mohali, Nagpur, and Hyderabad.
Yeah.
Hopefully none of them are any kind of turners. And I mean, to be honest, with this one, they will probably have good pitches rather than turning pitches.
So this time of the year, you would expect September, October, slightly, you know, trying to cool down a bit. There's going to be swing, especially dew in the evening. So I don't know. It would be really a spin-friendly affair. If at all anything, it's going to be a footballer-friendly one, especially in Mohali.
Slightly, yeah. So that's one. And I mean, I know we kind of saying Karthik or Rishabh, but to be honest, I know you said Rishabh Pant for the left-hander, but that is the thing with Rishabh Pant. I think he's not probably been able to live up to the expectations in the T20 as he does in ODIs and tests. I mean,
I have this theory that he needs a little bit time to get set. He's not a bang come over and then straight start hitting. I think where he excels is where he has time to get sight of the ball, look at the bounce pitch, and then there are some people who can go straight away. You know, people like Rohit Sharma, for example, or Rahul, Rahul, I've seen, they can hit from ball one.
Makes it think, like, if you are going to play Rishabh Pant, you probably want to play him at 5, because Suryakumar Yadav will be at 4, so you want Rishabh, if you want to give him that rope, then, you know, you actually get Rishabh Pant up at 4 and move Sky to 5.
I don't know why they wouldn't open. You know, to be honest, if I'm playing him as a batsman, I would probably open left and right. That becomes really challenging for the bowlers to start with, for sitting down a line. And then now it's kind of easy affair. You know, you start to get an outswing, you can bowl at both the players. But that's me. If I was the skipper, I would just...
Okay. I think unless like, you know, they pull a rabbit out of the hat, I think he slid on the marker and said, like, no, well, Rohit Sharma, that Kohli is going to be the third opener. So you already almost got, like, you know, these are the three openers that are probably going to change the odd game that Kohli will open with Rohit Sharma or with KL Rahul, or, you know, that's probably it. But definitely, like, you know, putting in Rishabh Pant in there will set the cat among the pigeons, you know, on the odd games.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they will definitely try. I think it's just some distraction technique. Nobody announces their squad just so much in advance. I think it's one of those Rahul Dravid kind of moves, just to throw the opposition and then sneak in the shop. And we never know. I think, if you look at it, there is no harm playing 6 batters. And 5 bowlers, I think. Especially because if Hardik Pandya is going to be fit and raring to go, I mean, he's your 6 bowler, so it's game down then.
Yeah. I mean, I think Hardik Pandya, even though he can give his 4, I would still think they have to use him as a 6th bowler rather than a 5th bowler. It's where I, you know, or they need to have somebody like Deepak Hooda, for example, who can bowl a couple of overs, so, you know. Yeah. So, On the other hand, on Australia tomorrow, I think the one I'm looking forward to is Tim David. You know, Tim David probably will make his debut for Australia. He's obviously been picked in the squad.
In the squad for Australia, yeah. Obviously.
Yeah, so that's the one, you know, I'm interested in looking at. They Australia have generally had a challenge. I don't think Smith's been in great form, nor has been Aaron Finch. Obviously, Aaron Finch announced his retirement from ODI to focus on this T20. Like, you know, so quite a bit of different team for them. Clearly, like, you know, Mitchell Stark hasn't come, so their squad is a little bit possibly, I think, different.
Yeah, if you really look at it, I think there are players who would not play in those, like Mitchell Marsh has withdrawn, obviously Marcus Stoinis, Mitchell Stark.
Yeah, I mean,
tennis is a big this time. Matthew Wade has been in terrific form. Tim David, obviously, we mentioned. Schwarzenegger, I don't know if he would make it in the World Cup. There are people who've been thrown in for
It's
good measure.
interesting to see, like, at least three. So David Warner is not coming, hasn't come to India. You've already mentioned, like, Mitchell Starc, he's not come to India. So Mitchell Marsh is another one. So they quite a few players. I don't know whether they're hiding, well, because there's not a lot to hide with David Warner. I mean, he's everybody knows what David Warner can do. So
Pat Cummins, for example, is not
Pat,
is
well,
a
Pat Cummins is there. I think he's there on the squad to India.
Is he? That makes
Yeah,
sense.
he's the vice captain. So
Ah, that's
it,
why. I was looking for bowlers. I got it. I
interesting to
agree.
see where, like, Stephen Smith's going to bat, because Stephen Smith hasn't really been at all. Like, again, it's a bit like the Kohli conundrum or Kane Williamson, where not really, like, in the
I don't think
T20.
he's at the flowing best. And he was never, in my view, I know I was again talking without data. He's not a T20 kind of player. It's like Kane Williamson. We say that about when you look at somebody like Kane Williamson, you don't, but they have done, really good in the past. And I'm going to put them all this thing. But for example, in that team, if you look at Australia's World Cup squad, you have enough power there. Obviously, Aaron Finch, David Warner, and then you have the power hitters in terms of Glenn Maxwell, Matthew Wade, Tim David. There's plenty there going. Marcus Stoinis, who are all-rounders, right? And for example, Marcus Stoinis can bowl. And if you add Mitchell Marsh into that mix, it becomes super powerful. So I don't find a place for Stephen Smith in that squad.
I mean, I'm interestingly enough, India haven't yet announced the squad for the ODI squad for the South Africa series, because obviously we play 3 20s and then we play 3 ODIs. I hope it's a completely different squad than the one that's going to the World Cup, because really wouldn't
Obviously.
want the squad to, like, have played up until
I
the
think
11th of.
we will see Shikhar Dhawan's 11
Yeah,
coming into the picture.
I hope so.
It's
It's a Shikhar Dhawan 11, and
Umesh Yadav, all the India B team would have a go at it. And then probably people like who won't
yeah,
play.
the Ruturaj Gaikwads and those kind of players, Mohammad Shami and all of those things, Avesh Khan, all those guys actually end up playing that 3 ODI series rather than Bumrah, etc. And
It
definitely
would
not.
certainly not be the case. I can tell you that they won't run Bumrah to the ground before
Yeah,
the World Cup.
that's probably a good way to, like, sort of end up this episode. We'll then look review on the next week's podcast. We'll review the T20 series against Australia and look ahead to the South Africa series. If you like the sound of this podcast, if you enjoy listening to this, do rate us on Spotify or any other podcast with which from which you download. We all on Twitter at Yellow and Blue, so do interact with us on Twitter as well. And until next week, goodbye from me and Venkat.